hopefully you're talking about the Lord or NFL or, you know. But this morning we're going to tackle a subject that's been on my heart for a while. If I was to guess, it'd be something that maybe some of y'all have been struggling with. It's going to be over worry and anxiousness. Now, I know I have I've heard some things just from just a couple of different people, and it's really inspired me and made me think back on like how I felt in the past. But just ideas that we have this morning are like that we've been worried about are just. Are we gonna come up here and make a fool about ourselves? Are we gonna know enough about the topic?
You know, making a fool. I'm pretty good at making a fool of myself, so I've already done that part. So
I might be a little anxious. Might have a little sweaty palms.
Yep, definitely sweaty at the moment.
For sure. Our words might come out a little faster than we'd hoped.
It's very possible.
Tyler, he's already. Turning a little red, looks like a little tomato.
You know whether I get worried, anxious, stressed, mad, whatever. I turn red. It's just part of my complexion.
He ain't too sure what I'm gonna say.
That is 100% true. So as we look at some different areas, and I do want you to know that this really has been on Carter's heart for a while, and some. Asked earlier, well, how, you know, Tyler, did you write this? Not 85 or probably more percent Carter put together, and I just helped him refine. And so I'm just thankful to help be a part of it. But this is from his heart and words that the Lord has placed on his heart. And so as we venture into this, talking about anxious and worry and what it comes to just with our spiritual life, we're going to kind of look at some scriptures and how to journey in this aspect together. But in youth ministry, I hear the word anxiety and worry a lot. It's become a very prevalent phrases and words in our world. And I hope you hear us. We are not downplaying this by any means. We're speaking on it because it's the things that we struggle with. We have many students who struggle with worry and anxiety and anxiousness. And as we were preparing, we found this stat that said almost 20% of the U.S. population struggle with some type of anxiety disorder. And so we realize how prevalent this is. Worry and anxiety, they just become a big part of our society, our culture, and our people. And it's not just on students. It's on adults as well. We all feel it. I feel like we just kind of go through life with some anxiousness that then grows into bigger things, things where we have to get help with. And so many things play a part in having this anxiousness and worry, and even if it goes to the level of anxiety. And I'll tell you, we are no experts. We are just sharing the words that God has put on our heart. But I've had parents say, well, what are some reasons that our kids are feeling anxiousness? They shouldn't feel like we try to protect them. There's things that hopefully they're not even know about. But, man, they still feel that. And some of the things I've heard just over the years, and again, no expert, but is one of just the pace of life that we run, this rushing, always busy, has an effect on how we feel and the things that we let creep into our lives. Also, just we are consuming more information. I say we, all of us, have the ability to consume more information and news than ever really meant to be able to consume. And we are, you know, we can open up our devices and within minutes we're seeing things from around the world that used to take a long time. You used to have to open your newspaper and it'd be a day or two before you knew about it. And now we see it sometimes even as it's happening. And so all these things, I think, have an effect on us. And it starts to play into our spiritual lives, because as we start to worry about these things, we're like, oh, well, get distracted from our walk with God. Things start to really have an impact on us. And so we're going to kind of break it down into three different areas that we're just going to talk about that cause us some anxiousness and worry, and then how God helps us in that. And so the first one is when life throws us curveballs or major life changes can add some worry and anxiousness in our life. Graduates, you are starting to feel that as major life changes. And Carter, you're about to have some major life changes. What's your major life change about to happen?
It's just a tiny little change. So I'm about to ship out June 10th to the Marine Corps. So that'll be a little bit of a change.
Are you telling me your mommy's not going to be there to make your bed and help you?
My mommy can't tuck me in there.
Yeah, no more. So major life change. And that, as he and I have talked, you know, he's try not to let worry or anxiousness creep in, but those sometimes can't. And it can happen for the other graduates as they are preparing for those next steps. They start to question. You, in this audience, you maybe are facing some major life changes. And major things, curveballs thrown your way. When I think about those things, I start to think about, well, why do they affect me so much? And I start to think, well, I love control. I like to be in control. And when I'm not, when those things are headed my direction, I've lost control. And next thing I know, I start to get more anxious and worried than what I would normally be. That stress meter start to go up as I lose control. You know, having 3 kids in 3 years, I've lost control. You could see, if you watched us over here, we've lost control over there. They're running everywhere. And I'm definitely not in control because I have 3 little voices. Well, 2 at the moment. Daddy, I want this. I want this. Get me this. Like, I have no control in my house. So Alyssa's able to handle it a little better. But those are things that they start to add stress. Those curveballs start to add stress in our life, right? And as your grads are launched into this next stage, right, they start to feel nervous. Right? Mom's not going to be there. Dad's not going to be right there. And so for many of us, we get in these next stages, and we're just trying to grasp on how do we get more control as those curveballs and life changes happen. And before we know, we've taken control out of God's hands. And our closeness to God starts to move away, starts to slip away. And not because he's left us, he hasn't. But we've moved from him. Because we get too consumed in all these changes and all these worries, and we overcompensate. And we let those stress to overconsume us. Instead of relying on his peace and his comfort in our life. I'm reminded of Paul and in Acts 27, but throughout Acts we get to see his life, and man, you talk about major life changes and major curveballs, just read about Paul's life and how he had to deal with all those things that were thrown his way. But in Acts 27, he's been arrested and he's traveling to Rome. Well, he has a shipwreck, talk about it, you know, arrested. Now the ship that he's traveling on crashes. He gets bit by a deadly snake, survives, and while all this is happening, he's still serving the Lord. He heals a man that's on this island. He heals in front of the family, and then as they're traveling, they make it to Rome, and while he's at Rome, there's still some major life changes and curveballs thrown his way. He's still, in a sense, arrested. He gets to have his own place, but he is still confined and not able to just go do his own thing and not able to go in the mission field like he had hoped and share the good news of God to all these towns. But he's still sharing the good news with anyone and everyone that will listen to him. And in Acts 28, verse 28, he says, "Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, without hindrance. That he continued to serve the Lord even with all this craziness. And I can imagine stress and worry maybe even would have an opportunity to creep into his mind and take over. But as he ended, he said, he taught with boldness, without hindrance. He let God provide him peace through it all. Curves, loop-de-loops, didn't matter. He let God be at the center of his life throughout all the chaos. And so for us, as we start to maybe, as these major life changes and curveballs are thrown our way, because it'll happen, whether you're ready for it or not, it's going to happen. We must continue to seek God. Seek God as through those life changes. Be able to not let the anxiousness and worry overtake us, but live boldly and without hindrance for the Lord, fully trusting him. And I think that's a huge part of how we're able to continue to trust him, is being able to just say, God, you've got it. Giving up that control, because he is in control. And giving him the control back. Carter, what's our next steps?
So I was looking into it, So another time we began to worry and cause ourselves self-anxiousness and a little bit of worry is whenever we get too heavy in our heads and we begin to think on things that we don't really have control of, or just think on things too hard. I know I found a verse the other day. It was Proverbs 12, verse 25. It goes, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Thinking on this verse, why do we get in our own heads? And why does this weigh us down so much? Is it because of problems we don't have control of or anxiety from our past? These are all things that might be hard on us that we might give to, that we must give to God. We can't go back to the past to ask for, but we can ask for forgiveness. We can pray on problems out of our control, and as Christians, we need to be there for each other and talk with each other to help find the light or a lesson in our problems. I know many times when I've just been scrolling on my phone or listening to a podcast, I've just heard that if you're not making a certain amount of money, or you're not going out and, you know, putting work towards different things, you're not worth anything. But I learned that's not true, because if you have the light of the Lord, what else do you need? You know, if you're down under living under a bridge, or you don't really have anything, as long as you have the light of the Lord, you don't need anything else. You show it to others too. After I started to look into these things, it started to pull me away from God. Why would I want to put others down for my own gain? Why couldn't I work with them and make things easier on us? As we could work together, we could also grow closer to the Lord. Another thing that I feel that many of us can understand is when something bad happens, or we just want things to be different. We go to a dark place that feels like we're all alone. Like we can't talk to anybody, or we just don't feel anything. Not happy, not sad, just nothing. We need to understand that the evil one is putting these things in our life to bring us away from God and make us not want to do anything or believe we're not worth anything. When in reality, we need to understand we can go and spread not just the word, but also the love of the Lord by helping someone out or just trying to connect deeper with God and help us to repent on things that just make us feel the way that we do. I know that God will always be with us to help us through challenges and help push through the evil temptations that Satan throws at us. Just know deep down, no matter what, God loves you and always will. You're forgiven for everything as long as you know to repent and go towards love, not gain. Let's look at a scripture or two that will help us not only be the thing in our heads, but instead help fill our head with the Spirit of goodness and truth. Another couple verses to look at is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 22. It goes, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good, and reject every type of evil." Let's look at these verses. So looking back at verse 16 and 17, rejoice always and pray continually. So when we sin, as long as we ask for forgiveness and repent, we should not keep feeling down. We should ask for forgiveness and learn a lesson from the problem. Or if we're sad because someone has passed, we should grieve their loss and rejoice in all the happy memories that we have and everything that they've done for others. Looking at verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. When we're in patterns of sin, or when we sin continually, we feel that guilt, which will clench and destroy our bond with the Holy Spirit. This would then destroy the intimacy we could have had with the Lord. A way I would explain this is, let's say you're in a great relationship with somebody, but time and time again, they're continually rebelling against you. You forgive them, and they keep on hurting you. How hard is it to just be able to connect and talk and just be around that person? So what I'm saying is when we can have intimacy with the Lord, He will clear our thoughts, struggles, and anxieties. The same as when we get back as much as we put into a relationship. We get to love while being loved. Another mini question within the question is, how do we get close enough to God to experience this love with the Lord? Looking at verse 22, reject every kind of evil. Something that I've realized is when we're down, God is not far from us, but we are far from Him. Because we've done wrong and we feel a condemnation against us. Even though He forgives us, this is something I have struggled with in the past. I used to do this thing where I would count how many days I could go without talking back or being rude to somebody. But now I know that's not the smartest thing, or that's kind of weird. But now I know that I have somebody that I can talk to or pray with, and we keep each other in line, you know. I just know that we got to find a person that we can count on, and always got to just find a friend in somebody. I'll definitely say if I'm bringing myself down, if I feel I'm bringing myself down because of something I've done, praying and talking to others has always helped me.
I love that this part where you talk about not spending too much time in our heads, and man, that can be such a big thing in our lives, and for maybe not just us, because both of us can struggle with this, because before you know it, it can get bad, and you're just scrolling through things, or you're watching TikTok videos, or Instagram reels, or YouTube videos. We just fill our minds with so many things, and we get into our heads. And so I love how you said, don't quench the Spirit, because the Spirit's living inside of us. And if we're not careful, we push Him out. And so the Spirit helps us to continue to live for the Lord. And I love that. So thank you, Carter, for sharing that. What's your last thought for us today?
So our last thought for today is we worry too much about others thinking about us. We give them too much power and say in our lives. I know back in seventh grade year, I was kind of just a bystander to everything. I would not talk to people unless I knew them. I was always worried about what people would think about me. Now I know that doesn't matter. No person or feeling will ever make you feel as loved as God, because those people might get upset with you even though that they love you. They might just leave you, or they might get a little bit of joy with something that doesn't completely work with them. I know that I was always just worried that just my presence wouldn't like fulfill somebody, but I know that a little bit of happiness can make me feel something, but it won't make me feel how loved I would be by the Lord. We cheat and spit on God time and time again, and he still loves us. The ultimate sacrifice he made on the cross covers all of our sins, and he still chooses to look back at you and say he loves you. There's nothing to worry about because God will always love you. As a Christian, we should not worry about what people think about us, but more on what we can do for them. If they're looking down on you or just being rude to you, why don't you go and invite them to church or ask them how their day's going or even just ask why they're talking to you that way? They might have a darkness in their heart that needs the light of the Spirit. If you can talk to them and help them know you forgive them and try to show your love towards them, there's no better way to shine a light in others than to spread the word so they can feel the joy we do and so that they know that they're loved by the same God that we are. One thing about the Christian faith is that we suffer for others. Not that we purposely hurt ourselves, but in that we can help others feel loved. We can do things to help others feel loved. If we're down, we need to shine a light on others. If we're just tired of everything, we need to die to ourselves and rejoice in the suffering because it brings us the fruit of the Spirit that can only come from suffering. If there's a challenge in your life, give it to God. Give all your sadness, anxiety, and weakness to him. Many people, including myself in the past, just might have shrugged at someone saying that, thinking they don't care. But what we didn't realize is that they're not wrong. From my understanding, when Jesus was walking his cross up to the mountaintop, he was not thinking how this will be over soon or how he's about to go to heaven. No, he was thinking about the nails soon to be in his hands and all the people that know him coming to watch him. I know that even when he is on the cross, he's crying out, and he said this verse. It comes from Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? This alone is so powerful to me that the creator of life and the creator of an infinite galaxy loves us so much that he came and not only went through a pain so harsh, but that he did it knowing how slow and gruesome and painful it would just be, just to make sure we're forgiven of our sins. An angel was even sent down to strengthen him in his time of need. He felt weak, but what did he do in his anguish? He began to pray more earnestly. Looking at a verse, John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Another verse to look at is Ephesians 6, verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when that evil day comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after everything you've done, to stand.
Carter, thank you for your words this morning and the importance of not letting worry, anxiousness, anxiety overtake our lives, but instead to fully live for Christ. And he shared this last part of just about Christ's death for us. And man, what a powerful part of just reminding ourselves the sacrifice meant for you and I. And so for our not only forgiveness of our sins, but that we get to live with him forever. When we let other things overtake that, we sometimes forget the sacrifice made for you and I. I want us to close with two quick verses. And it just goes back to just remind us of that, do not worry and do not be anxious. Matthew 6, starting in verse 25, he talks about do not worry about many things. And keeps bringing up, do not worry. And in verse 33, he says, but seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Right? Do not worry. Continue to focus in on that, but to seek the kingdom first. Matthew 11, verse 28 and 30 through 30 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Hey, as we close and thinking about these things that bring us worry and anxiousness and all the things that are happening in our life, let's seek the kingdom of God. Seek his righteousness. Give our burdens over. Give our worries, our anxiousness, and do not worry about tomorrow. But seek God and Jesus with all of our hearts and live in their peace for you and I. Carter, close us in prayer.
Everybody, please bow your heads and pray with me. Dear Lord, I ask you to help those that don't yet know you find you. I ask that you speak and work through us. I ask that you crucify our flesh so we can live through the Spirit, and to help us give thanks and have gratitude in every single circumstance. Help us learn from our wrongs. Help us know we are not alone. And Lord, bless everyone here with a heart to serve. It's in your name we all pray and say, amen.
Let's stand together and sing. How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears, and words cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our heart, hear our spirit sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We would use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are, but words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to my heart. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had a thousand years, Lord, I would still run out of time. If you listen to my heart, every bee will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, and thank you for the way. So listen to our hearts and hear our spirits sing song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are, but words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our heart. So listen to our heart. Song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are, but words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our heart, but words are not enough to tell you of our love, so listen to our heart.
Good morning again. I want to tell all of you that we're glad that you're here, and especially those of our guests that are visiting with us, and especially the family and friends of our graduates. You know, in the video announcement that Cameron gave about focus groups, reminding you that you just have two more opportunities to sign up for those, I will just tell you that one of the things that's already coming out from the focus groups, and it's not a surprise, is that this church family loves our youth group.
Amen.
They love our kids, young and small and old. And they know how important they are to their families, but they know how important they are to the church. So having a day like today is a good thing. And thank you, Braden and Seth and Henry and Justin and Carter, for your part you played in our service today. And you know, if you live long enough, some good things happen to you. And little did I know, 100 years ago, Andrea, when I hired Carter's mother to teach at our school, that one day I'd get to work with her son and youth group on Sunday nights. It's quite kind of a special deal. And thank you, Tyler. Tyler does a great job with our young people. Amen. And and Carter, one thing that I've been anxious about this week is for getting this next announcement. So Jim Russell had a security team training a few weekends ago for the security team. And one of the things that we talked about was access in and out of this building. And we were worried that the congregation knew that there were exits back there, but you didn't know that there were exits right over here and here. So now I've told you that if those are blocked, you've got two entrances down here, and now I don't have to worry about that anymore. Okay.
Be not anxious.
Not anxious. Before I pray, I'd like to offer two scriptures for you graduating seniors to mark in your new Bibles. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And Proverbs 19:21, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Would you pray with me, please? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being with us and blessing our time with you this morning. We honor and magnify your holiness. We thank you for your graciousness that loves us even when we act unlovingly. We lift up to you Zane and Dara and Aaron and Josh and Ava and Emily and Cameron and Matt and Carter and Hannah. We lift them up to you this morning and pray that their lives will be focused on serving you as their God and King. And give us all the strength and courage and wisdom we need to be your witnesses, to proclaim the good news of your Son in a society that is confused and wandering away from you. As we go through the coming week, keep our focus on the cross of your Son and our Savior. And it's in his precious name that we offer this prayer. Amen.
Amen. Before we close with this last song, I want to ask, would you turn the light, let's bring the lights down low. I want to show you the broken pots that we have up here on the front. These are from our ladies' retreat this past weekend. Their theme was transformed from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, how we are all broken pots. Now, if you look at all of these, and you should come up here and look at these if you have time, some are a little more broken than others. Some, if you look at this one, they had a little trouble getting it back together. But just symbolic that we are all works in progress, but that how God shines through our brokenness. Amen? Can I have another amen?
Amen.
Yeah, God works through our brokenness. And that's all of us, because we are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. But he is with us. He is with us, and he is in us. Let's close with this song this morning. Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in, oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. My Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am.
Have a great week. You are dismissed.